Welcome to the Laura's House podcast series. In this installment of our series, we'll be speaking with Adrienne Natta, domestic violence clinical educator for Laura's House, about the male perspective on domestic violence. Through this podcast, we hope to learn more about why men either stay in abusive relationships or remain silent. Adrienne, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Adrienne, there's a perception in our society that domestic violence only occurs toward women, when in fact that's not the case, is it?
Right. Sometimes this is the case. Domestic violence against men is both a growing and widely ignored problem. To date, there have been more than 200 survey-based studies that have demonstrated that domestic violence is just as likely to strike men as women.
What are some of the societal factors that are fueling the misconceptions that domestic violence only occurs against women?
Well, first of all, many people view domestic violence as a woman's issue that exists solely due to a power differential in a patriarchal society. While inequality has been and continues to be a presence around the world, we also know that domestic violence is a relational dynamic that's rooted in insecurity and desperation for control. Both men and women are potentially capable of using threats, coercion, and violence to cope with insecurity and attempts to gain control. This is why we also see domestic violence perpetrated by men and women in both heterosexual and same-sex relationships. Secondly, one of the reasons that the problem of domestic violence against men continues to be widely ignored is the notion that a battered man must somehow be weak or unmanly and should be able to take care of the problem. A good example of this is the case of Barry Williams, the former star of the Brady Bunch. He sought a restraining order against his live-in girlfriend who had hit him, attempted to kick and stab him, stole thousands of dollars out of his bank account, and repeatedly threatened his life. E! Online, a popular website for celebrity news, poked fun at the star. So when the media continues to make light of domestic violence against men and reflect the lack of understanding of the issue, it becomes even more difficult to change these perceptions.
There have been several high-profile cases where domestic violence against men has turned deadly. In light of these cases, why does society continue to ignore this problem?
Well, one of the most high-profile cases is that of actor and comedian Phil Hartman, who was killed by his wife in a 1998 murder-suicide. When this occurred, the focus shifted away from domestic violence and instead attributed the incident to mental illness. This is often the case in incidents where the woman is the perpetrator of violence against her spouse or partner. When such cases occur, society tends to want to explain away the problem as being related to mental health or that the women were driven to do this by an abusive spouse or partner. Nobody wants to admit that a woman is capable of domestic violence against her spouse or partner.
In your experience in dealing with this issue, what are the top reasons that men will stay in an abusive relationship?
Well, the reasons that men stay in an abusive relationship are not all that different from the reasons that women choose to remain: insecurity, dependency, fear. In more severe cases where lethality is a high risk, it's very important that this expression of fear is not minimized. If a decision to leave has been made, a safety plan must be put in place if they have a reason to be afraid for their life. So fear and insecurity is one of the main reasons. Also, lack of resources. Men, like women, often lack a support system. Isolation is a big component to domestic violence. Their family ties and friendships have been destroyed, leaving them psychologically and or financially dependent on their abusive partner, which brings us to another reason, which is lack of finances and the economic reality. The economic reality for men, particularly those with children, often is a bleak one. Perhaps this economic dependence on their abuser is a very real reason for remaining in the relationship. Public assistance programs have been drastically reduced, and those that remain may provide inadequate benefits. Another reason being the children. Being a single parent is a strenuous experience under the best of circumstances, and for most men, conditions are often far from fair. And just when it comes to receiving either equal custodial access or full custody of their children from the court system, many men also fear that an abusive wife or partner will assault the kids, and their fears are not unfounded. In fact, research has shown that people who assault their partners, both men and women, are likely to assault their children too. Also, feelings of guilt. A man may believe that his wife is sick and or needs help. The idea of leaving can thus produce feelings of guilt. Promises of reform. Abuser promises it will never happen again, and often any victim of domestic violence wants to believe that this is true. Another factor, sex role conditioning. Most men are still taught to be the protector and the family provider. They may believe, you know, to leave is to abandon the family and therefore admit failure. Another one we see with both men and male and female victims of domestic violence, religious beliefs and values. Religious beliefs may reinforce the commitment to marriage. Many faiths hold that the husband is responsible for the welfare of his family, so this may be a powerful reason for staying in a destructive relationship. And as mentioned earlier, a societal disbelief concerning battered men. Many people turn a deaf ear to marital violence and believe that what goes on behind closed doors is a private matter. The observance of a burglary, child abuse, or even cruelty might be quickly reported, whereas an assault on a husband or a significant other may not and often is not reported. And finally, I'll mention just the love for a spouse. Most people enter a relationship for love, and that emotion does not simply disappear easily or in the face of difficulty. After a battering, abuser is often extremely penitent because our self-esteem is so low following the incident. The apologies and promises to change are often perceived as the end of the abuse.
Are men who are abused concerned about backlash from a legal standpoint if they choose to leave, seek help, or report the abuse?
Well, this is a good question, and yes, they are. The reality is that there is a good chance that if the abused man was to seek legal help, the abusive wife or partner can allege that he was in fact the abuser and insulted her or sexually abused the kids. She may use this to get a protection order and bar him from seeing the kids. Along these same lines, men may fear that if they make a 911 call, it will be turned around on them. All too often, the man ends up being arrested when a 911 call is made over a domestic dispute, and he may experience problems getting the police to believe that he's been assaulted or that he needs police help.
Speaking of the police, are men more or less likely to make that 911 call than a woman?
Well, men are actually less likely to call the police when they find themselves in an abusive relationship. According to family violence researcher Murray Strauss, men are also less likely to call the police, even when there is injury, because, like women, they feel shame about disclosing family violence. But for many men, the shame is compounded by the shame of not being able to keep their wives under control. Among this group, a real man would be able to keep her under control. Strauss also states in his research, the police tend to share these same traditional gender role expectations. This adds to the legal and regulatory presumption that the offender is a man. As a result, the police are reluctant to arrest women for domestic assault. Women know this, that is, they know they are likely to be able to get away with it, as in the case of other crimes, the probability of a woman assaulting her partner is strongly influenced by what she thinks she can get away with.
If one of our podcast listeners feel that they may be in an abusive relationship or know someone who is, what questions should they ask themselves in order to better assess the situation?
Greg Enns and Jan Black have written a book called It's Not Okay Anymore, which offers advice for ending abusive relationships. Some of the things that they point out that are worth thinking about include, did she embarrass or humiliate you in front of other people, including your friends or family? Did she withhold affection to punish you for any violations of her rules? Did she intimidate you in any way? Did she threaten you or threaten to harm herself or anyone else if or when you left? Did she force you to ask her for money or to take your money away from you? Did she prevent you from taking a job you wanted or going to school? Did she force you either directly or through manipulation to quit a job you had? Also, did she make jokes about her treatment of you, insist that she never did anything to hurt you or blame you for her behavior? Did she make you feel afraid or like you needed to be careful around her? And finally, did she make you feel guilty or ashamed about yourself, your feelings, your beliefs, or anything else that makes you a unique individual? For more information on how to assess whether you are in an abusive relationship and signs that you are living with an abusive spouse, there is a great resource online called Battered Men, which can be found at www.batteredmen.com.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about battered men syndrome? Does it differ at all from women, the battered women syndrome?
Yes, and that's a good question. The battered men syndrome involves four psychological stages, and it's not that different from battered women syndrome. It is important to point out that men with battered men syndrome feel trapped, helpless, and very often also feel guilty. So the four stages include, number one, denial. The man refuses to admit, even to himself, that he has been beaten or that there is a problem in his marriage. He may call each incident an accident. He often excuses his partner's violence and each time firmly believes that it'll never happen again. At the second stage, guilt. He now acknowledges that there is a problem, but considers himself responsible for it. He deserves to be beaten or treated badly. He feels because he has defects in his character and is not living up to his partner expectations. The third stage is called enlightenment. The man no longer assumes responsibility for his partner's abusive treatment. Recognizing that no one deserves to be beaten, he is still committed to his relationship, though, and stays with his partner, hoping that they can work things out. In the fourth stage, called responsibility, here the man is accepting the fact that his partner will not or cannot stop their violent behavior. The battered man decides he will no longer submit to it and starts a new life.
Has there been any significant research or studies completed about domestic violence against men?
Unfortunately, no. Much of the data that we have today about domestic violence against men is largely anecdotal. Funding continues to remain a significant challenge for organizations that want to research this issue. Additionally, domestic violence against men is largely considered by many agencies to be a mental health issue and not a crime.
What can men do if they find themselves in an abusive relationship?
Well, there are resources and solutions available throughout the United States to help abused and battered men, and we would encourage them to call organizations like Laura's House, who provide counseling and shelter services for both abused men and women. Laura's House is available online at www.laurashouse.org, or you can call our 24-hour hotline at 949-498-1511 or toll free at 866-498-1511. There are also national organizations like SAFE, which stands for Stop Abuse for Everyone, which concentrates on serving men who are battered and abused. Their website is www.safe4all.org.
Before we close, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about Laura's House?
Yes, Laura's House is a community-based nonprofit organization that empowers individuals and families to lead violence-free lives. We offer a comprehensive range of services, including safe refuge for women and children escaping violent homes. We also offer legal support services, counseling, community education, and prevention workshops for teens on healthy relationships and dating violence. The inception of Laura's House was inspired by a true story about a woman named Laura from Orange County who was a victim of domestic violence. Unfortunately, the end of her particular story is a very tragic one. Her life was cut short with her untimely death at age 38. So since 1994, Laura's House has continued to grow and offer a multitude of programs and services that provide vital support and education aimed at avoiding such tragic circumstances from ever occurring again. Our mission is to change the social beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that perpetuate domestic violence while creating a safe space in which to empower individuals and families affected by abuse.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today, Adrienne.
Thank you, Laura.